This past Wednesday, Alex and I had the opportunity to have a question and answer time with our confirmation students. It was a really, really blessed time. They had some great questions, and it was great to be able to engage with them and answer some of their queries. And one of the questions they asked us was that if either of us wished that we had ever had children. And I looked at Alex, and I looked at the confirmation students, and I said, heck no. I think the mothers in the room were the only ones that laughed. Of course, this isn't completely sincere. Had I been a married man, I would have loved to have had a very, very large family with sons and daughters. But even part of my priesthood is, of course, is to have spiritual children. And then personally, I'm the godfather of 11 children. So I've been able to practice some kind of spiritual fathering in being a godfather for many, many years now. Six of my godchildren are some of my nieces and nephews, and then five of them are just children from friends that I have. And my most recent godchild was just born and baptized this past fall. It's the child of two of my good friends, and last August they asked me if I'd be the godfather of their next child. I said, sure, I'd be honored, that's great. They weren't even pregnant at that time, and so I said, sure, but whenever he or she comes, I'd be happy to be the godfather. And then they call me in November and say, and said, the baby's coming. The baby's on his way. I said, how does that work? They were in the process of adoption this whole time. So they were in an adoption organization, and a family had reached out to them in November. It came along pretty quickly. And then little Thaddeus came into the world. And it's such a joy. Thaddeus is actually the other name given to St. Jude, our patron. So my most recent godson's name is Thaddeus, an adopted son of my friend's. He actually has a brother who's adopted too. His name is Maximus. And families who aren't familiar with the Catholic Church often think that they're raising gladiators or something with those names. But of course, these are saint names, Saint Maximus the Confessor and Saint Thaddeus the Apostle and friend of Jesus. But I had an opportunity to do something new with Thaddeus that I haven't done with any of my other godchildren. I was able to baptize him. And so I actually had to have a proxy, someone standing in the place for me to ask questions of the godfather when it came to that part of the rite. So that was a new thing. But it was also a new thing that I baptized little Thaddeus right after Thanksgiving, a few days before all of the paperwork was finalized for his adoption by his new parents. And so it was actually a really cool thing that he became the adopted son of the Father, an adopted son of God, even before he was formally the adopted son of his earthly parents. And I told them that during the baptism, that this is such a unique thing. And I actually ask them to tell Thaddeus about this when he's old enough to realize it, that he became God's adopted son before he was the adopted son of my friends. And it's actually a really, really important thing that he is adopted by the Father. It's more important even that he's adopted by God than that he be adopted by my friends. And it's the same for each of us, too. Each of us are adopted into the family of God. Each of us is an adopted son or an adopted daughter of the Father, that through the waters of baptism, we are brought into the family of God. Now, we weren't in the family of God before baptism, but by God's grace, he welcomes us as one of his own. And our brother Jesus, in his humanity, has paved the way for each of us. That's the reason we celebrate this feast day of the baptism of our Lord so close to Christmas, It doesn't really fit chronologically, so you might wonder even, like, why this feast of the baptism of our Lord? He's 30 years old in our gospel today. Why are we celebrating that so close to Christmas when we were celebrating his infancy and incarnation? But theologically, all of these days after Christmas are significant and linked to one another. And so his baptism today at the age of 30 is actually so connected to his infancy and his incarnation that we celebrate these so close together. You see, at Christmas, when we celebrated his birth, we recognized him in the manger scene as the son of Mary and Joseph. He came into a human family, and so we're able to recognize his humanity. He's fully man. But also, in the days that follow, we begin to unpack the mystery that he's fully God, too. Last week at the Epiphany, when the Magi come and adore him as a deity, as a God, we can see that there's more going on here, that Jesus is fully man, but also fully God. And these strangers from the East come to worship him. And they come from outside the family of God. These Magi are Gentiles. They're not Jews. They're outside of the Israelites, the family of God. And then this mystery today gets unpacked even further as Jesus goes down into the waters to bring our humanity into the fullness of God's divinity. He brings all of mankind into those waters with him as he immerses our humanity into God. And so all of these mysteries are linked, they're tied together. And Jesus today begins the mission for which he was born, the mission of our salvation. He's 30 years in the gospel today in this feast that we celebrate, and 30 is significant for the Jewish people. It's when a man could become a rabbi. And so now Jesus becomes that rabbi, that teacher who would bring other followers around him. And then he goes out on mission. He goes to bring the proclamation of salvation, the forgiveness of sins to all people. As he's submerged into the waters of the Jordan River, he immerses humanity into those waters. And not just the Jews. He becomes a savior for all people. Now, the River Jordan was significant for the Jews. It was the river that Joshua had to pass through with the Israelites as they came into the promised land. But now Jesus, Yeshua, a new Joshua, a new Savior, brings all of humanity through those waters. And he extends salvation outside of the house of Israel, welcoming all peoples into salvation. Now, this is why Peter, in our reading today, proclaims that in truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him. God doesn't show partiality. He actually reaches out in his mission to the Gentiles, not just the Jews. And Peter proclaims this in the house of a Gentile. We hear that he's in the house of Cornelius. Cornelius is a Roman centurion, just like the ones that crucified our Lord. But we hear that Cornelius is a man after God and after the truth. And so Peter visits Cornelius' house today, and he proclaims God's salvation for the Jews and for the Gentiles. Now, this came some days after Peter and the apostles were gathered in the upper room and the Holy Spirit come down upon them. The Spirit first came down upon the house of Israel. But then in the verses that would follow our reading today, the same Spirit comes down upon Cornelius and his household. The Holy Spirit anoints not just the Jews, but it comes down upon the Gentiles too. And then Peter says the words, "What's preventing these from being baptized?" And so Peter then immerses Cornelius and his household and his friends into those saving waters, welcoming them into the household of God. Peter fulfills the great commission that Jesus gave to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to believe everything that I have commanded you. This is what happens at our own baptism, brothers and sisters. We're immersed into these mysteries. We leave the old man and the old woman behind us so that we can be welcomed into the household of God, that we can follow his commandments, that we can worship him in spirit and truth, and that we can practice these mysteries day in and day out. So today, in this great celebration, we give thanks to God for the gift of faith that he bestowed on each of us at our baptism. And we ask that he would extend that promise to all peoples, that all people of the world would come to be saved through the proclamation and the message of Jesus Christ.